Well, I think I got. I think we actually were in Galatians for a couple weeks, and but I'm not going to do that. I was going to. My intention was even till this morning, and then this morning I was. The things were bubbling around in my head, you know, throughout the week, and then I kind of set some things to paper, and again, kind of disjointed and whatever. But the Lord lays them on my heart. I'm not inspired. I'm not saying these things are infallible, but I do believe they come from the Lord. And when we deal with the things we deal with and the things that are going on, I can't make any apologies for addressing the current conflicts that we're in. Because I believe that's what the Lord had me to do. I said, well, that's not a job of a preacher. Okay, you go get a job as a preacher. I think this is my job as a preacher. And, you know, that's where we are. I believe I'd be wrong not to do it. And if you believe I'm wrong in addressing these things and doing these things, then don't listen. And go find someplace. And there's plenty of them around, you know, where you won't have to deal with those sort of things. Today I got some thoughts, and I don't even know if I just put this together this morning. I'm not sure I'll finish it today. But actually, it kind of dovetails with where we are in Galatians, and we'll be going on talking about some of these things once we get back there. You hear often, and people will refer to passages in Scripture and to kind of dissuade you from dealing with the evil people we have to deal with. And they'll say, well, you know, it's a spiritual warfare. They're absolutely correct. It is a spiritual warfare. But brethren, and we'll look at Scripture, our Lord, Paul, Peter, and others. It's a spiritual warfare, but we have to deal with the emissaries and the representatives of Satan. And our Baptist forebears weren't afraid to speak out and address things, beginning with that very first Baptist. You know him. His name was John. Mark 6, verse 17. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. John hurt Herod's feelings. Especially he hurt Herodias' feelings. And she manipulated and managed till we know the rest of the story. John lost his head. He spoke out against the evil, wicked powers that be. And he lost his head. He may have been the first Baptist to encounter that, but he wasn't the last. Not by any means. And I'm afraid the last has not yet been seen. So, if these things trouble you, if addressing these things trouble you, there's a lot more safer places you can be. There's a lot more comfortable places you can be. There's a lot more conforming places you can be. There's a lot more compliant places you can be. But I believe that I have been and that you have been called to the kingdom for a time such as this. This is our time. In some ways, it's kind of an exciting time. But it's a maddening and troubling and confusing time as well. But it's our time. By the Lord's choosing. And of course, that makes us all think of one of my favorite Old Testament characters, many of the biblical characters that I most appreciate are the women. God used some godly women in Scripture. But you remember Esther and her uncle, though he probably was actually more like a cousin or whatever. But anyway, we always say it was her uncle, Mordecai, and Esther's, the queen. Her husband doesn't know she's a Jew. Her husband makes a decree against the Jews. And Mordecai comes and talks to Esther. And then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews." Some folks think that way. They go along to get along, I'll just do what they tell me and everything will be okay. Yeah, no, it won't be. Mordecai said, you think you can just go along to get along and keep your mouth shut and maybe everything will be okay. Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? We're to the kingdom. This is our time. We may not have chosen it if we'd been given the option, but this is our time. This is our place. And brethren, we are in a spiritual warfare. But don't let folks divert you. Folks will say, we're in a spiritual warfare. So, you shouldn't be, dealing with those people in D.C. and Tallahassee and whatever. That's not the issue. It is the issue! They'll quote Ephesians 6 and then fail to set it in the context of Scripture. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Paul writes, "Finally, my brethren," and of course you look at Paul's life and his ministry, and you'll see that the way this is applied isn't the way that these folks that want to hold hands and sing Kumbaya want it applied. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Okay, it's spiritual. It's the wiles of the devil. With my natural eyes, I can't see the devil. I see evidence of his presence and influence and so forth. And you need to be careful about that as well, because people are still accountable and responsible. And as I'm talking about these things, I warn people about developing that old Flip Wilson theology. And some of you don't remember who Flip Wilson was, but he was an old black comic. And he used to play a role called Geraldine. And Geraldine would do all kind of weird and perverse stuff. And not in today's terminology of perverse, but it would do bad stuff. And her response was always, "The devil made me do it!" Well, no, you didn't. You may come under influence of things and so forth, but you did it. But Paul says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Those things are just as real as the physical world. But I can't see them. Not with my natural eyes. I can't perceive them. But they're more real than the physical world. Paul says, "I want you to know you're wrestling against that stuff." He says, "Wherefore," verse 13, "take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." And listen, "and having done all, to stand." And having done all, to stand. Like Brother Howe referred to Daniel. He determined that he would not defile himself. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Now it's time to do that, because the test is coming. And having done all to stand. Now, how does that work out? Well, we can look in scriptures and see how it works out. Yes, there's powers and principalities. There's wickedness in high places. And we'll look first to the Lord. Now, the Lord, he was God. So he could kind of see more behind him and understood more. But still, he was dealing with people, with individuals who were representatives of these things. And let me say this as well, as I studied on this and thought on this more this week, it gave me a little comfort. Because some of the folks that were obvious, and I don't believe a Christian can be indwelt of a demon or of Satan, but he can certainly be influenced. And some of the people that we see dealt with are folks who were Christians. One example that came to my mind as I was thinking on these things, I'm ahead of myself, but let's look at the Lord as he deals with his enemies. And he had enemies. They were flesh and blood. There were evil spiritual influences behind, but they were flesh and blood. John 8, and this is a longer passage, and I'll just read through it and comment on a few places. The Lord speaks to the Pharisees and his detractors. He says, I know that ye are Abraham's seed. You know, you've got your ticket punched. You've got the right natural descent. I know that you're Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. Well, we're Abraham's seed. We're the children of God, right? Yeah, well, not so much. But you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak that which I've seen with my Father. And ye do that which ye have seen with your Father. In case you don't understand, those aren't the same people. Those aren't the same entities. The Lord's telling his detractors, flesh and blood people, that your father, and he'll get more specific later, is the devil. You do that which you've seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. And we've been studying in Galatians, if you remember back, where Paul said, you know, we're the spiritual seed of Abraham. The Lord gave Abraham a spiritual seed. And these folks weren't part of it. Oh, they said, I can trace my lineage back. You know, I sent in my DNA to 23andMe, and they said, I'm related to Abraham. Yeah, so what? If you were Abraham's children, if you were the true descendants, the spiritual children of Abraham, you would do the works of Abraham, but now you seek to kill me. A man that hath told you the truth. That'll get you in trouble today quicker than anything else. I was reading an article this week about how they're going after these doctors, you know, to disbar them, to prosecute them. Why? Because they dare to speak the truth. Thank God there's a few of them around. Most of them aren't. They're sold out. You seek to kill me, and don't fool yourself. And that's where we are in Galatians, if you'll remember as well. These kind of things ultimately culminate in murder. They'd like to just see you gone. And now you seek to kill me, a man that have told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. And then he says, ye do the deeds of your father. He's got these flesh and blood people he's contending with, but they've got a father that they don't even acknowledge. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not of fornication. We have one father, even God. Folks claim all kind of things. You can go into all these false churches and say, oh yeah, God is father of all mankind. And we're just a great brotherhood. Lord said, I want you to know something. Yeah, that ain't true. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? I mean, he's the greatest truth teller ever. The Lord Jesus, you'd say, well, if we could just get these people to hear the truth, yeah, that won't work either.
That's right.
Jesus Christ can come and speak the truth to them. And you remember the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. And the rich man said, well, if one can come back from the dead and speak to them, they'd believe. And no, that's what Jesus did, wasn't it? They still don't believe. Jesus said, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word.
Amen.
They're standing there, they're listening with their natural ears. They're saying, yeah, we can hear your words. We don't think much of them, but we can hear them. No, they can't hear his words. It's sad. But we can't give them hearing. We can't give them understanding. We can't give them life. And it becomes more evident every day as we deal with people. And again, we keep thinking, boy, if I could just get through to these people, if I could just get them to read this, and ain't going to do it. It's not going to do anything.
That's right.
Why do you not understand my speech even? Because you cannot hear my word. And he says, right to the source, ye are of your father, the devil. Ye are of your father, the devil. Satan's their father. Spiritual being. A fallen angel. He's dealing with these people, though. So don't think you can quote Ephesians 6 and say, well, I don't have to dirty my hands with this. I don't have to get involved with this. Because I'm in a spiritual warfare. I'm not going to engage physically. I'm not going to engage with the evil people that our Lord did. He said, you're of your father, the devil. And the lusts of your father ye will do. Brethren, that's what it means that we are in spiritual warfare. We're spiritual beings, but we're in physical bodies now. We can't comprehend all that. But it's there. You better believe it. And the Lord could see it and could comprehend it. He was a murderer from the beginning. Again, we're over there in Galatians now. All these attitudes that culminate in murder. The attitude that I kind of categorized as being a Yankee. But that's not the exact word that Paul used, but that's what he was getting to. And I'm not talking about prejudice against people from the north, but that attitude. It can make everybody conform to me, to my image, to what I tell them to do, to follow my orders, my dictates, and you just got to look to Washington to see how that happens. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. It's just amazing, the people that just absorb these lies that come from on high. These people have proven themselves to be liars. They've told you one thing one day, one thing the next day, and they expect you to keep on believing them. And just embrace it. And like, you know, if you go get the jab, then you're going to be okay. Then you can't get infected anymore. And say, oh, wait a minute. No, you got to get 2 jabs. Oh, wait a minute. Now you got to get 3 jabs. And no, if you got 3 jabs, you can still get infected. And you can still pass it on to everybody. And I don't want to get into all of the details of that. But, brother, those are lies. And again, those who dare speak truth, even those who have a background and a training and a learning in those things, they're seeking to destroy them. And you listen to what they're saying, especially that idiot in the White House, what they're saying about, you know, the unvaccinated. You know, we're the dirty people. We're the unclean. Don't think that it won't culminate in murder. Oh, preacher, you know, you're just going off the deep end. I don't think so. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Now, this is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God incarnate. We think, boy, if I can tell them the truth, then they'll believe me. No, God says, if I tell you the truth, in fact, not if I tell you, you don't believe me because I tell you the truth. Because they're of their father, the devil. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. He that's of God hears God's words. Those who were chosen in eternity past. Those who were quickened by the Spirit in time. And we'll get to more where the Lord said, all that the Father gave me have come to me. Those are the ones. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not. Because ye are not of God. Those are pretty solemn words. You don't hear because you're not of God. Oh, you've got physical ears. I'm speaking the truth. And so, the Lord dealt with his enemies. Yes, there was a spiritual power behind them. They were their father, the devil of Satan. But he was dealing with the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and his other detractors. So, you can't just say, oh, yeah, it's a spiritual warfare. I don't have to get involved in, you know, arguing with these people. Yeah, the Lord did. Okay, now to where I was, got ahead of myself. Now, I'm not going to finish this week, but I want to hit this point. The disturbing thing is we look at friends and loved ones and maybe old Christian acquaintances and what's going on there. That's troubling. But then I started thinking about good old Peter. You know, I really identify with Peter. I'm not near the spiritual giant he was, but when it comes to messing up, I'm right there. And the Lord's dealing with Peter. Simon Peter. One of his most faithful and trusted disciples. A man who's been born again by the Spirit of God. A man who's received John's baptism. And I don't have time to get into all this, but if he's received John's baptism, he's received Christian baptism. All these Protestants and stuff trying to say John's baptism wasn't Christian baptism. Then none of the apostles had it, and Christ didn't have it. Christ didn't have Christian baptism. Did you know that? Or, anyway. Peter was born again by the Spirit of God. He embraced the Savior. He was a disciple. He was a member of that first church. And yet, comes to my mind when the Lord's speaking to Peter, and we're talking about the spiritual warfare going on. Matthew 16. I'm not going to read the passage we often look at. I'm just going to start in verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus, Matthew 16:21, to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. The Lord started telling them some hard things. He said, these things got to happen. These things are going to happen. Again, the words of God. The words of Christ speaks them to his disciples. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. What? Sometimes the children of God don't receive the truth as they ought. I don't know who is and who isn't. I don't have, you know, that discernment that the Lord did. Peter was obviously a Christian at this time. We know that from what happens before. The Lord speaks the truth to him. And Peter says, that ain't going to happen. What? And then he says this. And then the Lord says this. He looks at Peter. We're talking about spiritual warfare here, right? He's dealing with people. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. No, what? You mean the Pope? I mean, you mean Simon Peter, the faithful apostle? The Lord, here's a born-again child of God, and yet there's a spiritual power back there. I don't believe, again, in any way that he's indwelt of Satan, though there's that influence there. And men can be indwelt, and we'll talk a little bit perhaps about Antichrist and some other things of Satan and the demon and demons, but I don't believe children of God can. But regardless, you deal with people and you realize there's a spiritual warfare, but the Lord said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, here's the kind of bright spot I see in this as I think upon it, that some of my brethren, maybe some of my family, some of these other folks that have bought into some of this insanity, that I could say, you know, get thee behind me, Satan. They may yet be a child of God. I don't know that. That's the hope I have. Let me say this, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but we'll talk about it as we go on. Just because I think, I hope, that maybe they could be a child of God, does not mean that I should be trusting them. Now, if they manifest themselves in this way, you better not trust them. You better not depend on them. You better not think, well, they won't turn me in. Yeah, maybe they will. See, Peter one time, later on, working through all this, Peter said, I don't know that guy. You know, Jesus Christ. Peter, I don't know him. No. I had nothing to do with him. I wasn't with all those folks. Not me. It's a case of mistaken identity. Say, well, I could never do that. Well, maybe you could. All but for the grace of God. We all do and would. And so as I dwelt and thought on these things, that, yeah, we live in troubled times, and there's a spiritual warfare. And even those who should be our allies may be manifesting themselves as our enemies now. You don't have a greater enemy than Satan. You know what the word Satan means, literally. Adversary. So, yeah, adversary, enemy, that's the same, right? You don't have a greater enemy than Satan. But he turned and said unto Peter, not to some hidden spiritual power, he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. Whoa. Very unchristlike. Right? Very unchristian. Well, that's what the world tells us. But I think it was Christ that said that to one of his own apostles. You're an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. It's a spiritual warfare. We can't always discern that. But we have to deal with the emissaries of Satan. Sometimes the representatives of Satan, who may even, at least temporarily, be those who should be our friends and allies and family. The Lord dealt in his earthly ministry as well face to face with Satan. Not through Peter and some of the others, and we'll look at some of those and whatever. We'll talk some more about Peter. He was undoubtedly a born-again child of God. And yet, as we've been studying Galatians, you know, Paul had to take him to task. Remember? He said, you're to be blamed, Simon Peter. Hard times, hard speech. And we don't seek to be those things. But things that are clearly in line with the Word of God and clearly in line with the truth, we have to stand for. Even when it means telling your most trusted disciple, get thee behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me. That's not what you're going to hear from most of the world. Brethren, we're in a spiritual warfare. And to skip ahead, and I'll get back to it again, but you can trust God.
Amen.
I don't know those that are His. And some of them today give me reason to question and doubt. But He knows. The Scripture tells us He knows those that are His. And all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. We can rest in that. We can find peace in that. And just because, you know, someone disappoints us, I disappoint folks all the time, I'm sure. Doesn't mean I'm not a child of God. But we need to be careful, you know, who we heed, who we listen to. If Peter had listened to the Lord, you know, believed those things, but no, he said, no, that can't happen. Even a child of God, who should have spiritual discernment in ears, can hear the Word of God and say, nah, 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 nah. Well, those chickens will come home to roost. Okay, well, we'll maybe finish this up next week, unless I get off on something else. But we'll stand and sing a closing hymn together. This is pretty appropriate for a child of God who's listening to the Lord. Number 341, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way. If you like, you can stand as we sing this closing hymn. Number 341, Have Thine Own Way. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for the privilege to gather, for each one that's here. Lord, for your unerring and all truthful word. Lord, by your grace, may it be implanted in our hearts and our minds. May our ears hear it. Lord, we're weak and frail, even as Simon Peter. We're subject to influences of evil that abound. Father, I pray you might be pleased to keep us pure and true. Lord, I pray that you might help us in our thoughts and dealings to truly seek to be Christ-like. Not that perverted thing that the world puts forth as Christ, but our Lord and Savior. As he lived his life. As he gave his life. And rose victoriously from the grave. Father, we live in times that are confusing. Father, when it's difficult for us to discern what's taking place in the background, and yet, Lord, we know that there are forces at work. But, Father, we know that we belong to the greatest force in the universe. We belong to the only true, wise, all-powerful, omniscient God. So Lord, help us to rest in that. To live as we ought, to seek to bring glory unto Thee. Father, we know it's only by Your grace. And we pray for that grace. Use us as you will in these times. Help us to be the servants we ought. thank you again for your everlasting love. Thank you again for your sovereignty, for the assurance that we can have in thee. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.